Things that was contrary in the New Testament, we're going to show you that even after the Messiah, some people say, well, we don't do it anymore because now the Messiah's risen and he is our Passover. He's always been our Passover, past, present, and future. He remains our Passover forever. He is our gateway to salvation or to freedom, to spiritual freedom. So then, Yahweh is telling us to keep this forever as a memorial. We remember it. Now, we celebrate the 30th of May. We call it Memorial Day. But you don't hear the Christians say, well, we keep the feast day of Passover as a memorial. That's what the Bible said. Keep it as a memorial. Now, if you think that the ritual law that most people in Christianity believes that it takes us into bondage, if you take the spiritual law, there's four kinds of law. Well, actually, it's five. Let me give them to you. Spiritual law. There is a spiritual law. There's a commercial civil law. There's a ceremonial ritual sacrificial law. There is a judicial criminal law. And then there's a natural law. And now, which one of those have been done away with? The spiritual law? I don't think so. Commercial civil? Well, I'm under that every day, and so are you. Ceremonial ritual sacrificial law? Yes. Why should we have any ceremonial ritual sacrificial law when he was our Passover? This is the one that was nailed to the torture stake. The judicial criminal law? No. We still do it. You run a red light, and you'll see the judicial law come into effect. If you kill somebody, you'll see that judicial law come into effect. If you steal something, so on and so forth, you're going to see it come into effect. So it's still in vogue. Natural law? You go outside and pull your clothes off and lay down in the snowbank, and you'll probably wake up dead. It's a natural law. You ain't gonna survive if you don't obey the natural laws, the judicial, criminal, the ceremonial, and the commercial and the spiritual laws are all combined in the fellowship of you being under the law. Now, let me show you something. The feast fall into the category of spiritual law, just as the Ten Commandments, not ceremonial, ritual, sacrificial. They reveal the spiritual attributes of Yahweh, and they transform us spiritually to be more like our Messiah when we observe them. I have learned a lot of things in my life in keeping the festivals, especially Passover. It is one of the most beautiful types and shadows, and it teaches, like I said last night, it teaches the children, and it shows the way and the reason that the great mind of the Creator brought these in and instituted them and said, do this as a memorial forever. Forever. Now, let's go down to Colossians 2:14, which says that in the things that he said, blotting out the handwritten of ordinances that was against us. Now, you think Yahweh give us something that was against us? I don't think so. But man had interjected commandments and statutes and ordinances. You could only travel so far on the Sabbath day. You couldn't lift a burden on the Sabbath day. And we know that Christ healed the man and told him to take up his bed and walk, and the Jews jumped all over him. These are the handwritten ordinances, but they'll go down and feed their prize heifer or their prize bull, things of this nature. They'll take care of them, but when it comes to helping someone and in of their own kind, they won't do that. So he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to the tree. That's Colossians 2:14 now. Now, here we find time the ordinances which were nailed to the tree, which were against us. Is Yahweh's law against us? When we got the other four types of law that applies to us, when we speak of the spiritual law, is that against us? Is the commercial civil law against us? Is the judicial criminal law against us? Is the natural law against us? I don't think so. So those things were not blotted out. What was blotted out was the need to offer up animal sacrifices for his sins. That was taken out of the way. The handwritten of ordinances, which was contrary to us, which was given through tradition of the Pharisees and the scribes, that was taken away. And so then, when we say, when it asks the question, is the law against us? Paul said, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandments are holy and just and good, Romans 7 and 12. So these commandments are not against us. They're for us. And if we'll keep them, we'll prosper. We'll be in good health. And whatever we do and wherever we go, we'll prosper by remembering Yahweh's law. Therefore, in Colossians 2:14, the ordinances that Paul mentions are dogma and man-made rules that the Jews imposed. They are mentioned in a few verses, which he said, touch not, taste not, and handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Colossians 2:21 and 22. So the ones that Yahweh instituted and brought forth, he broke off the ceremonial laws of sacrifice. Bulls and heifers and goats are no longer needed for your sins. You have the eternal blood of the Creator shed for you from the foundation of the world, but you were kept shut up under the law, and a temporary offering was made for you, and the blood of a bull would keep you for a year. How much more do you think that the blood of the Creator, His precious blood, would keep you? Would it not keep you forever? Touch not, and taste not, and handle not, which are to perish with the using after the commandments and the doctrines of men. An example of these man-made tenets in operation is Mark 7, verse 5, where the Pharisees accused the Messiah of breaking their traditional ordinances. And then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not your disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? Ladies and gentlemen, that was what he was taking away, nailing to the torture stake. These traditional ordinances that were against us, that were man-made, at the commandments and doctrines of men, Colossians 2:21 and 22. Now, what about the Passover? Well, now, Pastor Betty, bless God, glory to God, when the Messiah died, he done away with them animal sacrifices, and you're not supposed to offer any more lamb. Well, have you quit eating pork? Hog? Have you quit eating chicken and turkey and beef? Lamb? Sheep? Have you quit eating all those meats? Are you a vegetarian? Well, no. Under the civil ceremony law, civil, we kill to eat. The Bible said that the belly is for meat, and meat is for the belly. And so then, we still kill animals, not to sacrifice them and offer them, but when we kill them, we kosher kill them, and we hope an organic setting that you would eat meat of an organic nature, good meat, and wholesome meat that has been raised and kosher fed with regulations of just grass fed or grain fed in organic grains and feed, then you'll get you an animal that is worth eating. If you go to Kroger's, if you go to the Publix and these big Costco and Walmart, buy your meat. You don't know where it's coming from. You do not know how sick it was when they killed it. You do not know what they have put in its body to get it fat and plump, where they charge you by the pound, and where they fill the animal with steroids and hormones and all kinds of other shots when it's sick or to keep it going until it gets to your table. That's what's wrong with the meat sold in the shambles that Paul was talking about, that you shouldn't eat if it's that way. And so then be very careful in meat, how you eat meat. Now, again, we know that the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Passover, and the Feast of Pentecost are the three required festivals for us to keep according to the book of Exodus chapter 12 and the book of Leviticus chapter 23. We know that. Now, when was that done away with? Well, it wasn't done away with. We still have a family meal. Every Passover, we kill the lambs, just like they did thousands of years ago. And it was instituted, and Yahweh gave us the menu for that particular day as a memorial. He told us what to eat. Now, if we was killing pig and we were announcing that we were having a pig roast, or if we were saying we were keeping Easter and we're baking ham in the ovens like they do on Easter, that's no problem. But see, the problem is, you say, oh, you shouldn't sacrifice that lamb. See, when you kill a lamb, they say it's sacrificing. When you eat it and do according to the lamb, according to the Bible, killing it in a certain way at a certain time, and they say that's done away with. But they don't care to eat pig. They don't care to do away with the lamb, but roast the ham. Put it on their tables and in their ovens and bake it and to roast it and do all these things, which the Bible says that a swine is unclean. And here on Easter, there's more hams eaten on the pagan holiday of Easter and Christmas than any other times of the year. Now, I'm going to repeat that. There is more ham, swine, eaten on Easter and on Christmas. These are the two times that the Christian people, not Christians, going against the Bible, eating unclean meat. They'll do that. But when you kill a lamb, it's just like you broke its neck, which is not what you do. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is full, and it repeats of how to kill your animal for your necessary food. And on this one day of the year, not on the 14th day, not on the 13th day like some people think. You know, some people think that he ate the Passover in the book of St. John 13. He did not. That was not the Passover. I proved last night, and I still didn't get through where they arrested him and took him out after midnight and interrogated him in the hall of Herod and then passed over to Pilate, and Pilate released him back to the Jews, and the Jews had him on the torture stake at 12 o'clock on the second Passover. It was impossible for him to eat the Passover, as some would believe, impossible. I challenge anybody in the country or under the sound of my voice to prove that he ate the Passover. He did not. He was the Passover. And he was killed on the 14th day at 3 o'clock. He was impaled at 12 o'clock. And he was killed at 9 o'clock, or the ninth hour, which was 3 o'clock. On your time, the sundial. And so then, he was not participating in the Passover, he was the Passover. He did not eat the meal. He was the meal. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. That's what that meant. When you get a revelation of what he done for you on Passover, you say, well, now, Pastor Benny, well, that's true. However, they didn't do it in the New Testament. Well, let's find out. Now, if you was to look into the New Testament and see how many times that they kept the Passover, including the Messiah. In John 5 and 1, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Yeshua went up to Jerusalem to keep the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. John 5 and 1. But we know that he also kept the Feast of Winter. That is the four seasons of the solar and the lunar application of the Feast of Winter, which is the winter solstice. We know he kept the tabernacle festival of the spring equinox or the fall equinox. We know that he kept the summer solstice by keeping Pentecost in the fourth month. And also we know that he kept the Passover, which is the spring equinox, which we just had here on the 20th, if you will, which would have begun a new civil year for the house of Israel. A religious entering of a time when we mark the beginning of the religious covenant of four times a year, we're going to recognize the seasons of his festivals. And nowhere has it ever been superseded or done away with. It was to be kept forever as a memorial to the teaching attributes and the types and the shadows of what he had done or what he had planned to do for you while you were getting your sins. Now, here we go. And again, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Now, these Greeks were the scattered sheep that would live close enough to come back and to keep the festival. Now, let's read a little bit further. Now, that's in John 12:20. And there were times when Paul said, if we read in the book of Acts, and we're going to start in 18th chapter of the book of Acts, and for the time that we have here, I'm going to read the 21st verse and hurry over this, but you need to dwell and show you how much he traveled to get to this. And they bid Paul to stay, but he bid them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. But I will return unto you if Yahweh will. And he sailed from Ephesus. And we know that he was speaking after the Savior's resurrection about his intentions to observe the feast. And so Paul, it wasn't superseded when the Messiah died. He's still keeping it. Here, about 55 years after the Messiah resurrected and went into the heaven, here's Paul keeping it. Now, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, therefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, like some do, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. To observe the feast with unleavened bread with a emphasis on remembering as a memorial. This is not to come together to drink and get drunk and party and to make a mockery out of his feast. It's a holy solemn assembly. It's a time to clean yourself up and get yourself ready. No wonder people are so discouraged in these last days, because people have turned Yahweh's occasions of feast into where they were doing it in Corinthians, chapter 5 and in chapter 7. They had turned it into a drunken riot. But I say unto you, here is the Messiah saying in 26:29 of the book of Matthew, I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Now, when was that? That is that there is a future time that he will make up for the one that he missed when he became the sacrificial lamb offered up for your sins and mine, or the sins of Jacob Israel, his children. He will make that up. He said, I will drink it new, but I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine. Now, we know he drunk in the 13th chapter of the book of John, but here he tells them in scriptures that I will not drink or eat the Passover with you until I do it with you in my Father's kingdom, the spiritual kingdom of the coming of the Messiah in a spiritual law. Praise Yahweh. Now then, ladies and gentlemen, if Yahweh is the King of all kings, and he is, if he is the one that is from the very beginning, and he is, if he is able to keep the festival when he comes, and he is, then why don't you keep it? Why don't you keep it in a memorial? Why don't you practice what Yahweh told you to do when he was here? He said, keep my feast forever as a memorial unto all generations. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing wrong with keeping the feast. All you got to do is plan. Well, I got to go to Disney World. Well, you just go right on. Well, I've got to go on vacation and I can't come, Pastor Betty. Go on. You're known by your fruits. If you loved Yahweh, you would keep his commandments. But since you don't love Yahweh, and you love the things of the world because your wife don't understand Passover, and she's the boss, and you're under her skirt tail, well, then you go right on. You go to Disney, or you go to the Grand Canyon, and you look at all the beauty of nature. But those who will keep the feast not with leaven, neither with the leaven of malice or wickedness, every Passover, boy, somebody will raise up. You'll see this carnal leavening raise up in them. And they'll start. And it's the devil. And the devil will work, and who will let him. Now, we're going over to the 21st chapter, or the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. And we're going to go again. We're going to look into the scriptures here where it says that Paul was to return to Macedonia, and there accompanied with him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Artistius and Syrgius and Gallius of Derbe, and Timothy of Asia, Titius and Trophimus. And these, going before, tarried for us at Taurus. Now listen what happened here in verse 6. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Taurus in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. Now, ladies and gentlemen, verse 6 of the book of Acts, chapter 20. We sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread. Now, my question to you. Now, here's Paul. He's not able to make it back to the first Passover. Which Passover do you believe he kept here? Do you believe he kept the first Passover? Like you would have done? Well, I'm not in a far journey, glory to God. I'm at home, anywhere I'm at in this body. You see, you can spiritualize it. You can escape it. You can criticize. not able to return back to where they kept the first Passover. And my question again to you, which Passover do you think he kept? Well, you say, well, he probably kept the second Passover. Well, now that you're in America, Paul was just over a few hundred miles over into Asia across the Mediterranean. Where do you come across the Mediterranean and the Atlantic and the Pacific to get to the United States of America, or to get to Europe? Now, do you believe that you should keep the second Passover? Just like Paul kept it. He kept the ordinances, ladies and gentlemen. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Now, here we find that the Apostle Paul and the evangelistic crew were caught in a far country. And the question is, have you ever thought about what the festival that they kept? Have you ever wondered? But here we are, and in the 18th, this is in Corinth, the 18th chapter of the book of Acts, like I read you a while ago, and they desired him to tarry longer with them, but he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast which cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return unto again if Yahweh will. And he sailed from Ephesus. Now, here he is. He's going to come back. He starts in time, and he makes it back to the city of Jerusalem in time to keep it. Now, let's say that he went a little bit further in the 21st chapter of the book of Acts. He's farther. He's over in Asia. And he can't make it back, and he don't sail. He don't go nowhere. He keeps the second Passover because he's on a far journey. And you say, well, Pastor Betty, I've never read that before in my life. I didn't know there was a second Passover. Well, we're going to read it to you and lay down the stipulation of the laws and prove to you tonight, beyond the shadow of a doubt, in the book of Numbers. It's in the Torah, the fifth book, and we're going to read you in the ninth chapter. We're going to show you that there was issues that came up that required taking this to Yahweh. And Yahweh spoke unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they would come out of the land of Egypt. Let the children of Israel keep the Passover at his appointed season. In the 14th day of this month at even, you shall keep it in his appointed season, according to all the rites of it, and according to all the ceremonies thereof, shall you keep it. That means you're going to have to do just exactly like he said, as a memorial meal, and it was at even in the 14th day. Now, we know he died on the 14th day at 3 o'clock, so he couldn't have kept the Passover, as some people say. Well, Pastor Buddy, he ate an early Passover. That's rubbish. That's unbiblical. That's unsound doctrine that is teaching people to break Yahweh's own law. That he kept an early Passover with his disciples in the 13th chapter of John is ludicrous. It's men that haven't studied, and they will not employ this clause of the second Passover. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover in the even at the 14th day at the going down of the sun. Now they prepared the Passover on the 14th day, and when even came, when it was in the evening, they were to take the Passover meal and rituals and the rites and the ceremonies thereof. A family affair. If they didn't sacrifice no lamb and burn a big pile of lambs up to Yahweh, some of these people believe. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. When? They kept the feast of Passover. Now, we know that the festival of unleavened bread does not begin until the meal in the evening. And you have to do that 7 days. The Passover day is the 14th, is a working day. You get the meal ready, but it's not eaten until the sun goes down, and it begins the 15th day, which is a full moon. As Yahweh commanded Moses, and so did the children of Israel. And there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man. Now, somebody died, and these workers, probably embalmers, and the people that carried him to his grave, or washed his body, or done these things in preparation, they defiled themselves that they could not keep the Passover on that day, which would have been the 14th day at even. Not the 14th day, but the 15th day. When it says the 14th day at even, that means the beginning of the 15th day. Now, we got the Messiah here in the 17th verse of the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, that he's talking with his disciples. And they're asking him, after he's branded unclean and not worthy to keep the first Passover, because they didn't want to kill him in the first Passover, they reserved him to the second Passover, but declaring him unclean because he raised Lazarus from the dead. And as I read you last night, here in the book of Matthew, that he ate a meal with Simon the leper, who was unclean. And they came together and asked Moses and Aaron, what can we do? We're unclean. We've touched a dead body, and through Yahweh's own law, he said we couldn't eat the Passover. And those men said unto him, we are defiled with the dead body of a man, wherefore are we kept back that we may not offer an offering of Yahweh to his appointed season among the children of Israel. And Moses said unto them, stand still, and I will hear what Yahweh will command concerning you. And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Yahweh, or of Israel, saying, Yahweh, if any man of you or of your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, then he must keep the second Passover. He must ritually be cleansed according to my word. And of course, you know how Leviticus tells you how to cleanse your body. There was a certain time limit on it. Or, here's the second reason. Or if he's in a journey afar off. Well, Paul, in the 21st chapter of the book of Acts, he's afar off. He couldn't get back to the place to keep the festival in the first Passover. And so he kept the second one. And after the days of unleavened bread, he then traveled. He didn't travel while he was in the festival. And only the second Passover, and if you got any spiritual knowledge whatsoever, you're going to acknowledge that he kept the second Passover, or you're going to deny the word. And that's what we're here for, to see whether you're going to accept it, or see whether you're going to deny it, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. How can you hear without a preacher? How can you preach except he be sent? And if you do not do the things that he said to do, then you've got no right to call him Yahweh. The 14th day of the second month, even at even, there you are again, it makes a point of telling you that you cannot eat the Passover meal until the evening of the 15th day. Well, the Messiah was eating a meal on the 14th day, the beginning of the day, not the end of the day, on the 15th. And people say, well, all in all, he must have just kept the early Passover because he ate it, glory to God. That wasn't the Passover. There was no lamb on the table. It don't say that there was lamb on the table. It don't say it was the Passover. It says, actually, it was before the Passover. That's what it says. And so then, it was not a Passover meal. And those people that preach that and won't repent of it are going to get in serious trouble. And even season, they shall keep it and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. You don't eat unleavened bread on the 14th day. You only eat unleavened bread for 7 days after the 14th day, at even. They shall leave none of it until the morning, nor break any bone of it according to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it. You say, well, those ordinances are now done away with. Well, Paul was still keeping it. Peter was still keeping it. And James was still keeping it. All the apostles were still keeping it. And what's wrong with you? Why don't you keep it? But that man that is clean and is not in a journey, here it is now. That man that is clean and is not in a journey. Now, if Israel didn't journey out of there in 721 B.C., and you are a descendant of those journeymen, and you find yourself in a far country, which Passover are you required to keep? Be honest with yourself. The man that is clean and is not in a journey, and forbeareth to keep the Passover, even the same soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he brought not the offering of Yahweh in his appointed season. The man shall bear his sin. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you participate in the Passover, and you buy a lamb, that's part of your offering, and it's for you and your family, for you to partake in it. Now, if you are in a far journey here in America, and you and the temple is tore down in Jerusalem, and you can't go back there, which one are you going to keep? For those of you that keep the first Passover, you're breaking the covenant. Now, if you were there and the temple was still there where his name was at and he hadn't disannulled it, then you would qualify to keep the first one. But you are not allowed or qualified to keep the first Passover. You're breaking Yahweh's law. You are keeping his law by keeping the second Passover in a far country, because anywhere you find yourself. Now, Paul found himself at Taurus. And there, he kept the Passover. Wherever you find yourself on your journey, that means anywhere in the land of your far journey that you find yourself, just like you're in America, you're in a far journey, whether you realize it or not, and say, Peter, I'm not in a far journey now. I've got the scripture says I'm not. Glory to God. But that ain't what the Bible said. Yahweh said to remember those in a far journey. Yahweh also said for you to remember him on a memorial when you went a far journey. And Paul kept the Passover as a memorial and a far journey, and he kept the second Passover. If he'd have kept the first Passover and had not went back to Jerusalem, he made one trip back. But in this case, in Passover, he couldn't make it back. And so then he kept it in a far journey and didn't travel, didn't do anything, but he sacrificed where he found himself. He offered up the lamb for his offering. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have taught on this for many years. And we have asked people to be honest with themselves and to ask the question, if they were in a far journey, which Passover should they keep? Which Passover should they acknowledge? Well, if you have got an honest heart and you know that you pass from death unto life and that you are properly taught and you have this knowledge, and I'm telling you, it has to be a spiritual revealed knowledge of Yahweh's continuous and changing plan. Yahweh is the same yesterday, today, forever, but the truth that was true for them today might not necessarily be true for you. And so then you've got to grow in grace and able to change. You see, the Pharisees couldn't change their tradition because they'd done it this way forever and thought they'd done God a service. But you have to take up your torture stake daily to follow him, or to find or to search or to seek the laws of Yahweh and to show yourself approved, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, to rightly divide the word of truth. Well, you got my message here tonight, and it's been so wonderful to be with you. I'm sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary at 1-877-289-7439. And if you was to call Dr. Gary tomorrow and tell him that you heard Pastor Buddy on WWRB, or maybe you would call Brother Paul at 1-800-253-2748. Tell him that you heard Pastor Buddy on the third part message of the mystery of the second Passover. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this message is brought to you by those faithful tithers to Pastor Buddy that hold my hands up and give me the liberty to preach night after night live and bring you revelated messages that only the Shepherd's Call has brought to you. These messages are unique. You may frown, you may fuss, you may corrupt, you may blaspheme, you could do anything against this message. But let it be known that there's a day coming that you'll be reckoned with. And if you're preaching in error and too proud to make the change, maybe your wife would object. Maybe your congregation would object because you've been adamantly opposed so long. But Yahweh convicts your heart and you want to change, but you got too much pride. Well, the Bible says that pride goes before a fall. Well, you say, well, I just ain't got time, Pastor, but I can't take off from work and do these things and these commitments that you've talked about here. And let me ask you a question. If you can take off to go to Disney World, if you can take off to go to the Grand Canyon, if you can take off to go fishing, if you can take off to go hunting, if you can take off to go to the ball games, most people spend more on one ball game than it would cost for 1 week of fellowship with the brothers and sisters who try their best to make it as easy financially on you as possible. And for those who don't have the funds to attend Passover or to attend all the days, there is offerings made up for those who are less fortunate by those who are fortunate enough. And I notice the people that are fortunate enough are the ones that love Yahweh, the ones that obey Him. The less fortunate are those who have not put in enough time to prove themselves. The Bible said, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Lay up your treasures in heaven where the thief breaketh not through. And so by doing that, you'll be blessed. And tonight, if you would like to write me, let me give you my mailing address. And I'd like to also tell you that our website is www.oneyahweh.com. Our website, oneyahweh.com. Now, Brother Bob has got all of our messages posted. He's our webmaster here, and he's got all the messages up to date. Right now, we're up to date until tonight. This message will be posted, Yahweh willing, sometime tomorrow for you. So you can go and download these 3 hours of series that we've done on the mystery of the second Passover. And we would invite you to do so at our expense, brought to you courtesy of those that helped Pastor Buddy and Brother Bob. When we go to great expense, me and Brother Bob both, to make sure that we've got our website. We have live streaming on. You can go and live stream right to connect to this broadcast, and you can download our messages on the website, or you can read the articles that we've got posted, or you can look at the documents that we've got. Brother Bob has got everything on PDF file, many hours of reading on how to build an altar, on how to be saved. All of these things are covered, And very well, Bob has went to great detail and a lot of time and expense of his own to make sure that you have just one click away from this messages that we have for you here on Live WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel. Now, if you would like to write me, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, again, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, that's N-E-W, two words, T-A-Z-E-W-E-L-L, Tazewell, Tennessee, 10-37824. Now, you can call me. I'm live tonight at area code 423-626-2172. Again, that's area code 423-626-2172. Now, I'll see you Friday night around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South, WWRB 3.185. On Friday evening, we'll join you at 9:30 with a brand new series, and we hope and trust that Yahweh will bless you and that He will keep you until then, where that you can rejoice, where you can look up for your redemption draweth nigh. And remember this, keep Yahweh's festivals. You'll prosper. You'll be blessed, both in health and strength, and in your tithes and offerings. Yahweh will bless you going in and bless you coming out. He'll make you the head and not the tail. Well, I love you. Yahweh bless you.
Of my salvation.